Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, the Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Jackie's broken ankle story right after this. Well, some years ago, my wife and I were out walking around, and she stepped in a hole and fell down and broke her ankle. Took us a little time to get her in the house, and we didn't know if it was sprained or broken or what, but she couldn't walk on it, and it was swollen up. And so I called the hospital down here in Mountain Home, and I said, my wife stepped in a hole out there, and I think she broke her ankle. Can you tell us how much it costs to fix a broken ankle? And this girl on the other end down here at the Mountain Home Hospital, Baxter Regional Medical Center, she said, oh, there's no way to tell. You see, we have to x-ray that, and you just can't tell. You bring her down to the emergency room, and you bring her in. I said, okay. Now, I said, it could be that it's not broken, it's just sprained. Now, if it's just sprained, could you tell me what the price for a sprained ankle is? And she says, oh, no, there's no way to tell. You never can tell if it's broken or sprained. And if it's sprained, well, then we'll put an ACE bandage on it. And if it's broken, well, we'll put a cast on it. And so I said, okay. Now, I said, if the ankle is broken and it needs to have a cast on it, can you tell me, just give me a ballpark figure, as to what it's going to be, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000? And she said, no, there's no way to tell. You see, if it was a compound fracture, it would need surgery. And if it needed surgery, well, you never could tell what the price of the operating room and the surgeon's going to be. And so I said to her, I said, well, it's not a compound fracture. It's sore and it's swollen and it could be broken, all right. But you don't have any idea. She, nope, there's no way to tell. I said, okay, well, thank you very much. And I hung up and I turned to my wife and I said, they want me to write them a blank check down there at Baxter, and they'll fill in the rest for me. And I don't really care too much for that. So I think I'll get a second opinion. So I went and I got the phone book, and we looked around, and we found the, over in West Plains, 60 miles away, we found a clinic over there. I don't know what they called themselves, the ABC or the ZYX or the Acme or the Ajax Clinic. And so I called them up, and I said, now, my wife stepped in a hole out here, and we think she might have broken her ankle. Can you tell us how much it costs to fix a broken ankle? And she said, $235. And I said, now, just hang on a second here. wait a minute. We don't know if this ankle is broken or not, And does that include the cast? And she said, yep. I said, well, now, you're going to have to x-ray that thing first. How much is the x-ray? And she said, well, that's figured right in the price, $235. I said, well, now maybe it isn't broken. Maybe it's just sprained. Well, how much is that? And she said, well, now, if it's just sprained and all she needs is an ACE bandage, then we're going to charge you $50 for the office call plus the ACE bandage, and you can probably take that off yourself. And I said, okay, can you fix that this afternoon? And she said, you bet. come on over and we'll fix it. So I turned to the wife and I said, well, it's $235 if it's broke. We know it isn't the compound, so I could probably get another opinion someplace else and might get the price down to $210, but you know, I'm not concerned about the $25, so sounds like a deal. So we went on over there to West Plains, and I went in and I said, now my wife's out there in the pickup. They came out and they got her in a wheelchair and they took her in there to Dr. Perkins. And she just kind of disappeared behind all these doors. And so I just parked the pickup and then I went on in and I sat down and picked up a Time magazine and I was reading the propaganda, you know, from Time. And this young woman came over, just cute as a bug's ear too. And I bet she was about 22 years old, you know, 23, something like that. Looks like she just got out of college, maybe just the day or maybe the week before, took this job. Anyway, she had this clipboard, and on the clipboard, there was a form on there. And it was 8.5 by 11, and on both sides, I mean, it required a lot of information, a lot of blank lines in there to answer questions on. And she handed that to me and she said, oh, Mr. Gordon, would you please fill this out for me? And I said, why, sweetheart, I'd just be tickled to death to fill this out for you. And so I sat there with my pen and I filled out the whole thing on both sides. Now, since how she already knew my name was Mr. Gordon, I guess when I called, I said, my name's George Gordon. I usually do that. I call somebody on the phone. I said, this is George Gordon calling Bud Cockrell. This is George Gordon calling Joe McGillicuddy. So she already had my name, so no point in lying to her and telling her my name was Harry Wolf at this late stage of the game. So on the one end, I put George Gordon on there. Now, for the rest of the form, they started to ask for some pretty personal information. For instance, they wanted to know my address. And they wanted to know the city, the state, the zip code, social security number, employer. They wanted three references. And I thought that was kind of strange. Three references. What if I was a deadbeat with no friends? I wouldn't have three references. I'd walk in the door and say, hey, my leg is broken. They'd say, nope. We're not going to fix your leg. You don't have three references. You're a deadbeat. So I answered all the questions. Now, as I recall, they were simple enough to answer. All the questions were answered no, none, never, Fourth Amendment objection, and Fifth Amendment objection, and perhaps there might have been one or two First Amendment objections. Then I answered every question on both sides. I didn't leave any blanks unfilled. Then it asks you for a signature at the end of the form. And where it said signature, I put down Fourth Amendment objection. Now, I got up and I walked over to the desk, actually the counter, and I put the clipboard there. And she was over doing something else. And so I just put it down and smiled, and I went back and I sat down, picked up my Time magazine again. You know, maybe 15 minutes has gone by, filling that out, 20 maybe. And she came right over. I mean, I hadn't even found my page. And she came right over and she said, oh, Mr. Gordon, this isn't filled out correctly. Now, I take great pride in filling out forms. And I didn't miss a single line, I didn't miss a single answer on there. I answered every question. And then I said, can you point to one mistake that I've made? And I don't think she knew how quite to answer that. And so she said, well, Mr. Gordon, we have to have your Social Security number. Because if we don't have your Social Security number, we cannot enter this into our computer. And I looked at her right in the eyeball and I said, well, that's okay by me. And I don't think that she quite grasped the seriousness of my response. And then she said, well, what is your social security number, Mr. Gordon? And I said, N-O-N-E. And then I looked at the form and I said, see right there, it says N-O-N-E. And that question is answered correctly. And she looked at me and she said, well, you have to have a social security number. And I said, why? And she said, because it's the law. Everybody has to have a social security number. And I said, well, sweetheart, I'm just guilty as hell. And I held my hands out. And I said, you can put the handcuffs on me and you can take me away because I don't have a social security number. I'll bet you that I was the first person in her lifetime that ever said, I don't have a social security number. And she shot right back. She says, what's your wife's social security number? And I said, it's right on the form. It says N-O-N-E. None. She doesn't have one either. And she said, well, I'm going to have to go talk to Dr. Perkins. And I said, okay. And she did. I think she went in there. I was used to this. Remember, I went to parochial school. I had Judy Hartson. Judy Hartson would report me to Mr. Witt. Every time I misbehaved, hell, she would report me to Mr. Witt even when I didn't misbehave. But I guarantee you, Judy Hartson never missed little Georgie Gordon misbehaving on the school grounds now. Because, and I guarantee you, she never missed. Number one, she never missed a day of school because she always got her chevron at the end of the year for perfect attendance. That's number one. Number two, her sole mission in life was to follow me around and make reports on me. That's all Judy Hartson lived for. I was in the fourth grade. So this girl here, you know, she didn't faze me at all when she said she's going to go in there and talk to Dr. Perkins. I was ready for this. Hell, I've had my ass whipped so many times that I've lost track of them. That doc could come out there and whip my ass again. I wouldn't care. And I still wouldn't have a social security number, even if he did come out and whip me. So she came back out and she said, well, and she didn't say anything about what Dr. Perkins had said about no social security number, but she went on and she said, what is your address? And I said, I put on there Fourth Amendment objection, but I said to her, are you going to write me a letter? And she said, no. And I said, well, if you're not going to write me a letter, why do you want my address? This is one of those reason, logic, and common sense questions. And she said, well, what's your phone number? And I said, if I give it to you, you're going to call me? And she thought about that for a minute, and she said, well, if we have a need to. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to give you my telephone number, and if there's a need for us to talk, I'll call you. Now, you know, you're probably sitting there saying, you know, why are you so rude and obnoxious? And I'm going to throw the question right back at you and ask you, well, just who in the hell did this woman think she is that she'd come out here and ask me for my social security number? Let me just ask you this. You're walking down the street and some guy stops you on the street and says, hey, lady, what's your social security number? And what's your address and what's your telephone number? Would you give it to him? Now, you're sitting there saying, yeah, but you're in the doctor's office, and I'm sitting here asking you the same question. You ever meet that woman before? I never saw that woman before in my life. And here she is asking me for my social security number and my address and my telephone number. Now, I apply a rule to this, boys and girls, so write this down. Pretty important. It's called the Denny's waitress test. I don't answer questions for people that I wouldn't answer for a Denny's waitress. Now, when I go into Denny's, The waitress comes over, smiles, and hands me a menu. Never have I ever been in a Denny's that the lady said, "What's your phone number? What's your address? And what's your social security number?" And right away I took that as a clue. If I wouldn't answer that for a Denny's waitress, why in hell would I answer that for some clerk in a doctor's office? Now, I know that we're used to answering those questions for those nurses and the doctors and the dentist's office and the chiropractor. I understand that, and I'm not ignorant. I've been around for a while. What I'm asking you is, why would you answer those questions, and why is it rude for me to refuse to answer? Now, furthermore, let's suppose you went into a Denny's restaurant and the waitress said, "Well, if you want to eat lunch here, you got to fill out this form. Here's the clipboard. Fill out this form first, and then we'll decide whether or not we're going to feed you." What would you think of that? Wouldn't you get up and go over to Shoney's? Because that's what I'd do. I'd just get up and get real rude and go to some other restaurant. So, anyway, she went on down the list over here, and she got right to the point. She said, "How are you going to pay for today's services?" You know, the point that she's trying to make here, the reason that they're asking all these questions on this form, it's a credit application. What she's asking all of this information for is so that she can figure out how she's going to collect from you. She wants to know who your employer is. She wants to know how much money you make, where your bank's located, what credit cards you have, and so on. So she said, "Well, how are you going to pay for today's services?" And I said, "With gold." And she said, "I don't think we take gold. I'll go ask Dr. Perkins." And before I could stop her, you know, I felt bad about that one. I felt like I should say, "No, you don't take gold here." But I didn't. And she went in and she reported again to Dr. Perkins that this clown out here is going to pay with gold. She came back out and she said, "We don't take gold, but we do take MasterCard, Visa, Discover, and one other." I forgot that. Oh, MasterCard, Visa, Discover, or American Express. And then she pointed up onto the counter where they have these signs up here, you know, "We take Discover, we take these," and that and other. And I said, "Well, I don't have a credit card." And she was pretty surprised that I didn't have a credit card. And she said, "Why don't you have a credit card?" And I said, "Because I don't have any credit." And she said, "Well, why don't you have any credit?" And I said, "Because I'm a deadbeat." Remember, I used to have 28 credit cards. I mean, I'm fully familiar with credit cards. I maxed them suckers out, $12,000, and then I couldn't pay them. It was more than $12,000. $12,000 a year is what I was making every year. And I had more on the credit cards than I had a year's salary. And I thought, how in the hell did that happen to me, smart as I am and all? Well, anyway, it did. And so she said, "Well, we can take your personal check." And I said, "No, you can't, because I don't have any checks. I don't have a checking account." But I said, "I could give you a Federal Reserve note. Do you take Federal Reserve notes?" And she said, "I don't know. I'll go ask Dr. Perkins." And she disappeared again. Now, it just so happens that about this third time, this is the third time now, she went in there. She came back out, and the doctor was right behind her, and he was pushing the wheelchair with my wife in it, had the cast on, fine-looking cast. And well worth the $235, I'm sure. And he said, "You know, Mr. Gordon, I just have to come out here and meet you." He said, "I don't think I've ever had a patient in here like you before." And so I said, "You probably never will again." But meanwhile, back on the farm, I asked this young lady if she took Federal Reserve notes. And she didn't know. And then I said, "Do you?" And he said, "Well, yes, we take Federal Reserve notes here." Now, a Federal Reserve note is what you people commonly call United States money or United States currency. It is not United States money. It is not United States currency. It is a private bank note, and it says so plainly right at the top of the page. Pull one out and look at it. That Federal Reserve is not a federal agency. It doesn't have anything to do with government. It's a private consortium of bankers, and they're all foreign. How do you like that? Well, I say they're all foreign. That's not quite true. I think that the John D. Rockefeller connecting link over here and maybe even Morgan Guarantee Trust is domestic. They could be. But there's only a couple, most of them. And there's 13 of them. Most of them are overseas. So anyway, the doctor, and this young lady, now she's kind of dumbfounded. You know, we take Federal Reserve notes. We don't take gold. And this guy is a deadbeat and doesn't have any credit cards and doesn't have a checking account. And I'll bet you that that woman has never met anybody before or since that didn't have credit cards and checking account. Dealt in gold coin. And wouldn't give her name, or my address and my phone number. Isn't that special? I thought you'd like that. Now let's learn a lesson from this. Just because somebody asks you for information doesn't mean that you have any obligation to give it to them. When you go into Denny's, you don't need to fill out a credit application because you're not going to ask for credit. You're going to pay them cash, aren't you? And the same thing is true when you go to the power company or the phone company, the doctor's office, the dentist, the chiropractor, wherever it is that you're going, you know, your information is yours and it's personal and private and there's nobody out there that's entitled to it. Now, I know you're going to say, well, if I go into a government agency, I have to give it to them. Well, I don't know. Maybe you do. I don't. First of all, I don't do business with government and government agencies because they're criminals. But even if I did, I don't think I'd give them that information. And if I did give them some of that information, it'd have to be a pretty damn good reason for it. Such as, yes, we are going to write you a letter, Mr. Gordon, and we have to have some place to send it. Or, yes, we're going to give you this, or we're going to do that for you, and we have to have an address to send it to. Okay, well, let me give you this address to send it to. Doesn't have to be my address, but it has to be an address to send it to. All right, so that's the way that game is played, boys and girls. So tuck that one away in your heart, because not everybody that asks you for this information is your friend. And they might want to use this information against you. And you might not like that. So the next time somebody asks you for your name, address, and telephone number, and social security number, why don't you just try asking them, what do you need it for? And then let's go from there and see whether or not I want to give it to you. Now, isn't that just real special?